story, which they think has got strength to work for the national newspapers, the national magazines, features as well, and the national broadcasters. We just work on those and change the angle, because obviously you'll find if you're working for the regional press, you write for a regional angle. National press agencies will work to write for a mainstream national audience, often for the red top tabloids. And every day we'll get journalists who are the regional reporters for like the Sun, the Daily Mail, the Mirror, ring in asking what's on our diary as early as 8:30, 9 o'clock. So in those first 2 hours, the crucial hours really, because you go through the papers and you've got to compile your own news list to tell the journalists what's going on in our office. Because more often than not, they'll know the diary news in the regional region because they'll live in Birmingham or surrounding area, and they'll probably go to the biggest diary story that they know of while we look at off-diary events. Certainly the biggest ones are things when things just happen and you obviously don't know about it. If you just, there was the fireworks fire a couple of weeks ago at Stafford, the factory of fireworks exploded, and I think there was two found dead. That broke at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. One of our reporters just went straight into a car, straight to there, to find out any names, and then we work from that. I think we work at human interest stories, so straight away we're trying to get names of any deceased in a tragedy like that, and then knock the family through the electoral register. And it's hard work because obviously you're doing lots of death knocks every week, you're travelling far every week, but the results are really rewarding when you can see your story that you wrote in a page lead in, say, the paper or the Sun. The unfortunate thing is often that reporter at the Mirror or the Sun will claim it as theirs and take the byline themselves, which is a shame, but occasionally you'll get some credit for the work you do with them. So then every morning we'll come in and we'll go through each regional newspaper, obviously the biggest one we look at, the Birmingham Mail, some of which in the area we've got syndication contracts with, so we'll just use their photos, use their audio or video online, so, and we can use it for free, but sometimes we'll have to make our own. So the Birmingham Mail we don't, for example. We'll go through that, and any story which is very strong, we'll follow up ourselves, and I'm sure you look at trying to find people on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and that kind of thing. That's really useful. But often everyone's information is on what they call the electoral register, and we use that to try and find contact numbers and addresses. And more often than not, if there's an address, we'll just drive straight to the address. If you can get hold of that, have a bit of sort of it, if it say it's, you'll just knock the door, say, and like cold calling or. Obviously, it's better to speak to somebody in face-to-face if you can do that. And often it's very difficult to find that person. Then we'll have a set of photographers at each office. So we've got photographers in the Birmingham office who will obviously try and do the same thing, but for the multimedia aspects, and they're trained in video as well. Because the thing, when I started this job in July, and I first... for, it was just for print, but you've got to think at the same time, think for online and for broadcast purposes at once, really, because if you can sell one thing, if you can sell it twice, you can make as much profit for a business or for yourself if you're working as a freelancer. So I'd suggest never to think of something just for one organisation or for one outlet, say, or so platform online as well as print, for example. And certainly we do that. And I'd say each day, on an average day, we'd send out 40 stories between four reporters for the national media. And it's a lot of work, particularly in the mornings, because obviously the deadlines for about sort of 12 o'clock, they're planning to that's going to go in the papers. So it's hard work. But I mean, if you get a head in the morning and beat sort of a rival agency or a rival publication to it, you'll then be able to get some success. So I go through the newspapers, and for a national audience anyway, I find a story that is pretty strong, isn't reliant on a local or sort of regional angle on each of these publications, and then we'd rewrite it, sensationalise it a little bit for the mainstream audience, exaggerate it, but in essence, really, it's the same story, and it's not as sort of severe as what you'd probably read if you're an outsider on a red-top tabloid. Sometimes we'll go through the regional papers, or the regional websites would go through everything in the regional area. The websites are often good because you might see just a picture or a video, and a story can develop just from that. Even just a picture caption, say, you can just write 50 words for, might become really, really useful because it's so visual. And it can obviously work for online as well as print. Often you'll find that the emergency services, particularly in the Midlands, are really sort of media savvy now. And I'm sure you know the West Midlands Police website. You get a lot of stories off them, and they're brilliant at multimedia. Sort of every other day, I imagine they'd put a video out there. More often than not, that video is really newsworthy. I think there was a video just yesterday about a lorry which you turned on the M6, which you've probably seen and aware of. And nowadays, most emergency services, the PR department, are becoming better and better at getting hold of that sort of stuff once they've used it for their proceedings. And I'd make sure you're always on top of that because they update their websites through every hour, really. If there's something going on, the better, the larger emergency services like the West Midlands Police Force. And you get some really good stuff often. And more often than not, if you've read what they've put out on their press release, say, and you don't think it's good enough, if you ring them up and just inquire about some missing information or there might be gaps in what they're saying, because obviously they want to put themselves are good, you'll find out some more information, and that might enhance the story even further to what they want to say originally. They might not name the victim, say, but actually that victim's happy to be named, and you can go from there. Talk to her or him. Say there was a lady with some serious injuries a few weeks ago. I think she was beaten up by a canal towpath. She wasn't named in what the West Midlands Police had put out. Actually, we looked at it, investigated it, and it found that she didn't mind being named. In fact, she said it would help her bid to try and find whoever hit her. That was a really good, useful story because the police had put out some pictures of injuries. I think that you can't underestimate the importance of the image or a video to really enhance the story and bring it together. Certainly, we really rely on these big sort of fires or murders. These off-diary stories are really useful for us. On my first day, I was sent to a murder in Solihull, and so you go to the scene, the police will tell you to go away, do the tape that they'll put up, but it's so surprising what you can find just by knocking a few doors next to the scene or next to the tape that they put up. People might not want to talk about what's happened on their street, an unfortunate incident, but the law of averages sort of says that you will find someone who will give you that really good bit of information, perhaps a name or what happened, and that is a huge reward, really. You feel a great sense of satisfaction after perhaps knocking an hour's worth of doors, finally you found someone who's got a bit more information, and you can obviously follow that up and work a story that way.
Do you find, Bradley, with that, just on that point, do you find, because one of the issues that we've been talking about is kind of persistence, picking yourself up when you're knocked down, is that kind of one of those hidden skills that you really need to acquire pretty quickly?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I wouldn't underestimate that, really. I mean, you've got to have that persistence. As I say, on that first day, I didn't find anyone who had anything useful to tell me for the morning, really, a good 3 or 4 hours. Eventually I did. We managed to get a name for the family who were in question, and we got something out, and that got printed, I think, in the Daily Mail the day after. I think that's a great sense of satisfaction, although in the first few hours you thought, nothing's going to happen here, it's a dead story, no one's going to talk to me. But I think that persistence is a really, really good tool. You've got to have that, otherwise it's just that you can't fear failure at all. because you've got nothing to lose.
So when you go out on a job like that, you know, the discussion we're having in the group is about sort of angles and spotting angles. Do you go out sometimes with an open mind and sort of, or do you go very much with an angle in mind beforehand, or do you sort of sometimes kind of put the finger in the air and see what comes from those interviews?
Mm. Yeah, we don't go with it. Personally, I don't go with any angle in mind or any sort of agenda in mind. I go to all these things. I think that's it.
Right answer. Thank you. Yeah,
exactly. You can't picture a story before it's happened. And then once you go into situations like that with open minds, then you can work a story and fit a story in however,
to kind of link that to what you guys are doing. That's what we're saying about sometimes when you put your calls in, you're waiting for a call back. Some of you start writing the story. The problem then is that beds into your mind and you think, oh, that's the angle, I can't veer from it. Yet the quotes are often what provides your angle. So looking at your Muslim cemetery one that you did, Jessica, that it was the quotes that made that story. Otherwise, you'd have written it very much as what we already knew.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's kind of something that's come across from what you're saying, is that you have to go and be open to what might happen, because I imagine there's some stories where probably even you can't believe that it's true.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Even in the space of 4 months, there's a few ones that each day you find something that really baffles you. And then certainly if what we do is we obviously go through the local paper, say the Birmingham Mail or Express and Star, for example, and we'll find a story which has got some really mediocre quotes, crap quotes, but once you follow it up, a new quote from the subject which will really transform the story, to be honest. Because you might find that story's got a really good sort of subject, but she or he didn't say much. And I think you can copy quotes, but I think that's a bit lazy. If you sort of be a bit more active and go out and try and get a subject to say something a bit better, you can always put that as your new angle and rewrite the story that way. Because more often than not, a story has always been told in the past, but the way you can tell it is endless, really. Those sort of things. And even in a story, if you're just going through and you've read the opening line and you don't really like it or you don't think it's any good, and even if you read further on and you find a quote from someone in there that maybe the journalist has ignored or perhaps forgotten about in a rush, that is really strong, you can always just work it so that the quote holds the story. Sort of MP says or man says something extraordinary. We often get a lot of sort of shows from that, yeah. Any questions?
Any questions from the floor?
Yes, sure.
No, I was going to ask, what were your journalist interests before you started university, and how have those changed since you finished?
Good
question.
Yeah.
On the spot.
Before I started uni, I wanted to go into print journalism. I didn't have a specific specialism or a sort of topic area that I wanted to cover. And then, ironically, when I left uni, I thought, it's all changed, and I want to go into digital or online journalism specifically. I'd looked at jobs in those areas, and I took a job because the news agency job, because of the reputation of the agency, but also because it's a print job primarily. But it's a great learning curve, so if I can spend some time there, learn some new skills, and have a little sort of string to my bow, if you like. And as it goes, it's a really, really good job. Really, each day is different. It's really fun. I think that's the big thing that drives me on that one. But again, I've still got no sort of topic or specialism that I want to stay in, or sort of health or sport or anything. That never really crossed my mind ever. But because each day would be sort of similar then, I suppose. And I like the sort of nature where you wake up and you go to court one day, say, and the next day you're doing something about a lost. Sort of, well, I had a very bizarre story recently. Say we had a swan at a nature reserve, and an amateur photographer, was taking a picture of the scene of the lake, and then suddenly, as he was pressing click, a swan photobombed the shark, and then it was that photo that sold the story. Obviously, we put words to it as well, but it was a really bizarre photo, and it was made quite a few pages in the Red Tops certainly that next day. But that's it. Each day's completely different. Yeah. Sure, yeah.